Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios, New York City. A special hello to all of you listening all over the world, to all of our affiliate stations. I welcome you. Such a power-packed program today, always beginning with the latest in health and healing, because I believe that each and every day we should have insights and information that can empower us. For example, you're going to learn about a new single fruit that can help against Alzheimer's, how spinach can help against obesity, how reducing salt can help save you from dying of cardiovascular disease. Our classroom on the air today, which is always longer and more comprehensive, is about lipoic acid, lipoic, P-O-I-C acid, from Dr. Jose Antonio. This is a real important nutrient, especially if you have hepatitis B or C, or if you have disease of the liver at all. Then a Chinese herb, and I'll get a pencil because I'm going to give you the spelling of it. This is from the Chinese Academy of Medicine. It's as effective as methotrexate against arthritis. Now, methotrexate is a very toxic drug. It works, but at a big cost. So why not use something that works just as effectively with no side effects? And then from Christina Northrup, three drugs that are commonly used that you shouldn't. And I'll tell you why you shouldn't. Then, from our environmental segment, we have a lot. And for our sister station in New York City, WBAI, and Michael G. Haskins, longtime engineer, Michael interviewed me this morning on WBAI, 7-something, about an upcoming premiere that I'll be doing as a fundraiser for this station, where all the funds, 100%, go to the station. It's on a new documentary. In any case, he was mentioning that one of the things he enjoys about this program is the environmental segment. Now, I have 7 segments to the program every day. My hope is that different people will find different segments important and some people will like it all. This is about something you have not heard before. This is a special in-depth original investigative report by Greg Palast, who contributes to this program. It's about lap dancers, the CIA, payoffs, beatings, British Petroleum, and how they ended up causing that mess in the Gulf of Mexico. Wait till you hear this. This is cutting edge. And for all of you who wondered how could they have done so much damage and no one was held accountable, you'll find out today. It involves the CIA. It involves M16, it involves Margaret Thatcher, a lot of people involved. But leave it to Greg, one of the finest investigative journalists in the world, to put it all together. Also, good news, Monsanto and other big companies are losing the GMO and natural food fight. We'll give you the latest on this from Ronnie Cummings. Also, the idea that the third report in 3 days shows fracking, hydrofracking, is dangerous. And I'm going to keep sharing this with you because the more that we have that comes from quality sources showing the dangers of gas hydrofracking, the more we can share this with our state legislators to try to stop hydrofracking in our states, or if we have allowed it, to rescind it. Then from our public health segment today, ABC News deletes evidence about a chickenpox death in vaccinated people. Also, this is something you have not heard before, and we have this. This will be the first to share this. A former medical doctor from Merck predicts that Gardasil will become the greatest medical scandal of all time. From Health Impact, Dr. Dalberke, a former pharmaceutical industrial physician with Gardasil, the manufacturer Merck, had this to say, and I will quote him verbatim, "What a scandal." It's one thing when someone from the outside says something. It's something else when a whistleblower does it. Also, today, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and big polluters, they've been working together to try to attack limits on climate change pollution one state at a time. You're not aware of it because it's been in secret, not as of today. As of today, we'll take a look at Kentucky, that's where they're starting, and how they're trying to undermine national standards to reduce climate change pollution, meaning they'll get rid of the standards that would affect climate change. The bill would prop up profits of Kentucky's biggest polluters while saddling ordinary Kentuckians with higher electric bills. The coal-friendly bill may not be surprising in Kentucky, but this effort didn't originate in the Bluegrass State. The bill's language mirrors legislation being pushed in state houses in every part of America by the American Legislative Exchange Council, a cabal of corporate giants that include the Koch brothers, Peabody Coal, ExxonMobil, and other fossil fuel companies. We'll expose it today because it's going on now, and they're using Kentucky, so we have to expose it in Kentucky. Now, we have a lot of listeners now in Kentucky. So I'm going to give you the information that you need to take to the media and then ask the media in your state to challenge them. I also believe it's time that we did a major original documentary exposing everything about ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, including who these companies are for 30 years, been operating in secret. How have they been able to get away with meeting with our state legislators twice a year in exclusive resorts and writing, meaning these corporations write bills. They give it to your state legislator. The state legislator then takes it back into the state and promotes it into laws. 20,000 laws have been passed, 20,000, that you think are passed by your legislators caring about you. No, they're caring about the people who gave them the laws. So why would they do that? What would be the quid pro quo? Weren't we supposed to have one person, one vote? Well, ALEC completely shattered that. Citizens United stomped on it. So it's a farce. It needs to be exposed. The people that took the money or got jobs in ALEC corporations afterwards. So it's time for that. Let's begin. As you see, we have a lot to share. Before we do, however, let me just take a moment, because this is one of those really rough weeks, because not one, not two, but three people who I knew, who I had a lot of respect for, all passed away this week, and John Judge, who created COPA, Coalition on Political Assassinations, it was he who founded the group, and it was he who provided some of the best investigative reporting on the truth behind the lies in the Warren Commission and the RFK assassination and the Martin Luther King assassination and the Malcolm X assassination. He did more than anyone else I know to get the hard evidence and bring it to other scholars and other writers who then brought it out. He died. Michael Rupert died. Now, Michael did a very popular show on Sunday nights following my show called The Lifeboat Hour. And Michael was also responsible for the book Crossing the Rubicon, The Death of the American Empire at the End of the Age of Oil. He also was the catalyst and the commentator in the movie Collapse, one of the finest documentaries you will ever watch. In fact, I'm going to play it in its entirety as a tribute to him Sunday night, and then follow up with the best of his last several programs. He also was the head of the film Peak Oil, and he wrote a lot of good books. He also was the one who confronted the head of the CIA, Deutsch, in Los Angeles, where he had gotten a tip from Gary Webb, who I met at because Gary's publisher was my publisher, Seven Stories Press. And Gary was being destroyed by the media, but the former top narcotics officer, Michael Rupert, took off the chase and found it was true. Drugs from drug cartels supported by the CIA were ending up in poor sections of Los Angeles, and he confronted the CIA director. And the only one who had the courage to do it, and I'm going to play that segment. And also this week, Robert Knight. I've known Robert for decades. Died at 63. He'd been in failing health. And Robert did a program called Earth Watch. And for a long time, he had a daily program, an essential part of our sister station, WBAI. Interesting, I was just speaking with Robert just very last week, and Michael Rupert on Sunday night. And we were all concerned about the future of Pacifica, and that was the nature of the conversations. What's going to happen? And as I said, from what I see now, and I'll be giving a report on this to the listeners next week, my own personal investigation, there's absolute, total anarchy, chaos, and a coup orchestrated by three groups, but only one is known to anyone. I have found out who the other two groups who really are the power behind this are, what their motives are, and I will be sharing that. My program will never be censored. I will not allow this when they're trying to destroy BAI, which does not deserve to be destroyed. Do not think for a moment that it's just a bunch of stupid hippie clowns in Berkeley who want to see their infantile and infinitesimal little station be the dominant thing and take BAI, sell it so they can have all this money, tens of millions of dollars to split. That has nothing to do with what's really going on. It's a much bigger story, a darker story, a dirty story, and a corrupt story. It's time it was told. So anyhow, they were all concerned. So three of the best and brightest investigators, human rights activists, and Earth citizens all passed. You wouldn't know that because all the attention has gone to the death of Gabriel Marquez. And of course, for those of you, myself included, who read The Autumn of the Patriarch and 100 Years of Solitude and Love in the Time of Cholera, one of the great writers of our time. But he was 87. These people were in their 60s. And these were people who didn't write poetry or wonderful fiction. They wrote on hard-hitting issues. They also deserve some attention and some acknowledgement. Let's go to the latest on health and healing now. The native plum, likely to be the newest weapon against Alzheimer's. Now, this is important. It is called the Kakadu, K-A-K-A-D-U. Kakadu. And it's a plum with powerful healing. And it's from Australia. And they have found that the fruit of the Kakadu plum has nutrients in it. And this was done by the chair of the University Foundation of Aging and Alzheimer's Disease down there, that it can protect by 700% greater than curcumin. Well, before, curcumin was one of the greatest nutrients you could put into your body to turn off inflammation and prevent damage to your brain. Now, this thing is shown to be 700% more powerful. Wow. It's grown in the wild in the Northern Territory in Western Australia, and it's used for millennia by the indigenous people as a medicine and as a traditional food. And Professor Martin says that while curcumin is very powerful, the Kakadu plum's protective ability makes it much more powerful. And, quote, when the plant's environment is very harsh, they have to produce powerful antioxidants to protect themselves. And I think that's what's happened with the Kakadu plum. And it's very exciting. Because it's a natural compound, it could be getting into clinical trials faster, and it can protect neurons from toxic agents The one in Alzheimer's is beta amyloid, which kills brain cells. That would give us confidence that this is an attractive candidate for further trials. So, for those of you who know anyone who is suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, ask friends. You won't find this in the United States, but certainly you can go online and ask friends from Australia. Send up some Kakadu. You could even have them dry it. And yesterday, while I was going into my building to make myself some lunch, a person stopped me in the hall and she said, "Gary," and I said, "Yes." She says, "What can I do with some fruit?" And I said, "What kind of fruit?" She said, "Well, I have some soursop and lots of it, and tamarind and lots of that, and they're just growing. They were my grandfather's, and he died, and he left it to us, the children and grandchildren, but nobody knows what to do with it. And there are dozens of acres, and there's hundreds of trees per acre, and they're just growing." And I said, "Well, if you've got soursop is one of the most powerful healing fruits in nature. And what you can do is you can box them and send them up. And you've got a business. You could sell them to health food stores. They haven't been sprayed. They're organic. And just get all your material of how you can export them." So maybe some of you know people who live in Central America, South America, in the Caribbean islands. This was in Jamaica, where instead of just letting the fruit just drop and rot or dry out, that's a business for you. Because these fruits can be dried, and or they can be sold fresh, or they're expensive. You go down, I just bought a soursop, and it was $7 for a little one, about the size of a small orange, $7 for a single one. So you might be able to think about doing that as a little business for yourself. Spinach. Well, we know it's rich in iron and phytonutrients, chlorophyll, yes. But some new research from Lund University shows that it's good at suppressing appetite. And there's a particular chemical in spinach they have found called thylakoid. Thy, lakoid, L-A-K-O-I-D. And that slows digestion, alleviates hunger pain. So have yourself some spinach, and that can help kill an overly aggressive appetite. That was from Lund University, by the way, it's in Sweden, and it was from a professor, Albertson. Next up, I believe we should be using alpha lipoic, lipoic, POIC acid each day for a lot of different reasons. It's one of the strongest antioxidants in our body. That means it can trap free radicals, which cause inflammation and destruction of our cells. So quite simply, if you want to live a longer life, a healthier life, have lipoic acid from 400 to 1,000 milligrams if you're not sick. If you're sick, for example, if you have hepatitis, the single most important vitamin is lipoic acid. I would say 1,000 milligrams 3 to 4 times a day. And it's known to have an antiviral, especially hepatitis, action, that and milk thistle put together, Sumerian. Lipoic acid is versatile. It's long-acting, longer than vitamin C. It also is water-soluble and can work in a fat-soluble environment. It can work inside the cell and outside of the cell. It helps prevent heart disease and diabetes, and it's rapidly absorbed, so you get it right into the body real quick where it goes to work. It boosts the mitochondrial health. What that means in lay language is this. Every second, 24 hours a day, oxidative damage caused by free radicals occurs in your energy-producing cells of our body. And we need to protect those mitochondria. The cumulative damage inflicted by free radicals can have numerous negative age-related effects, and this free radical theory of aging is supported by many leading researchers, one key proponent being world-renowned biochemist Bruce Ames, who I had on the show many years ago. And the more lipoic acid you have, the more you protect your DNA. And that's what you want. But you also want to protect your mitochondria. Why? Because the mitochondria gives you energy. Brain energy, heart energy, muscle energy. So as long as you have a lot of mitochondria working, you have energy. When you get sick, your mitochondria are not functioning, and hence we feel fatigued. So lipoic acid is great to protect against oxidative damage, and it's really important if you're exercising. And also, animal studies show that the lipoic acid in combination with acetyl-L-carnitine restores mitochondrial function clear back to youthful levels. Now, acetyl, A-C-E-T-Y-L, the letter L, carnitine, carn, C-A-R-N, itine, I-T-I-N-E. That's what helps keep you energized so you can do your exercise. It also helps to recycle vitamin C and glutathione. And glutathione can be found in the watery portion of your cell known as the cytosol. And unlike vitamin E, which is present in the fatty portion of each cell, the liver contains a tremendous amount of glutathione, which reflects its function in the body's detoxification process. Quite simply, the more glutathione that you have, the healthier your liver. And if you've drank, if you've eaten junk foods, if you've worked in a polluted environment, if you have hepatitis or sclerosis of the liver, you want to have more glutathione. Well, alpha-lipoic acid helps produce that. It also helps you if you're insulin sensitive. So you want to have better insulin levels, it does it. It also helps turn off inflammation in the body. It helps your brain function. At 600 milligrams, it's very good for helping Alzheimer's persons. Very, very powerful. I would give more than that. I would give 600 milligrams at a time. And it also has anti-cancer effects. Lipoic acid has been investigated as an anti-cancer therapy because of its ability to preferentially induce apoptosis, an inhibition of the cancer cell proliferation. In one amazing case study, the authors described the long-term survival of a patient with pancreatic cancer without any toxic adverse effects. Now, we know, you've heard me mention many times, that pancreatic cancer is one of the most virulent forms of cancer that is a very poor prognosis. In this case, the subject was treated with intravenous lipoic acid and had substantial improvements. Also, it has rejuvenative effect. It can improve your skin, especially if you've been damaged by sun. So photoaging of your skin, lipoic acid can make a difference. So that's our nutrient of the day in depth. So let's make sure that we're including that into our health regimen. And finally, is reduced salt intake linked to a fall in the deaths from cardiovascular disease? Yes. According to the British Medical Journal, over the past decade, death rates from cardiovascular disease have dropped, and this could be linked to reductions in average dietary salt intake during the same period of time. This research was done at Queen Mary University of London, and that's what they found. 15% drop in salt intake resulted in a 40% drop in deaths from heart attack and stroke. In fact, recently the Medical News Today reported on a study by Danish researchers who pronounced the daily sodium intake recommendations from the U.S. Center for Disease Control as, quote, excessively and unrealistically low. That study considered that 95% of the global population already consumed the optimal amount of between 2,600 and 5,000 milligrams of sodium a day, and that attempts by the CDC to drive salt down to 15 milligrams is actually associated with negative health outcomes. I disagree with that. We only need 800 milligrams a day. So I think the CDC did the right thing. And so try to have no more than 2,000 milligrams a day in sodium. And finally, if you have arthritis, there is a new research from the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences that shows for rheumatoid arthritis, with all of its pain and swelling of the joints, an article published in the British Medical Journal shows that a simple herbal remedy, let me spell it for you. Get a pencil. T-R-I-P. Trip. T-E-R-G-I-U-M. Tergium. Trip tergium. Second word, will, W-I-L, fordi, F-O-R-D-I-I. That was extremely beneficial, and that is an herbal remedy. You can find it online, and I'm sure you could find it in Chinatown or from a pharmacy that is compounding. All right, another way to help yourself. Three drugs you don't want to take if you are Christine Northup. Statins. Statin drugs are prescribed to lower cholesterol, but we know how to lower cholesterol naturally to prevent heart disease. Coenzyme Q10 can do it, but statins destroy coenzyme Q10, and that's the nutrient your heart needs to have energy. Remember, all the organs, the heart requires the most energy and coenzyme Q10 to function properly. So why take any medication for heart health that depletes the heart of what it needs? It's just stupid. Also, for bone loss, people are taking the biphosphonates. I wouldn't recommend it. No, that's what you get in Boniva and Foxamax and Actonel. Now, those medications prevent bone breakdown and therefore bone loss. Sounds like a good thing. Why don't you look at the side effects of taking them? I say no. We can do a lot with boron, manganese, phosphorus, calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, vitamin K2, and we don't need that. Then we have synthetic hormone replacement therapy. Premarin, Prempro, and all other synthetic hormones I'm opposed to. We can do much better by looking at natural therapies. And I'm going to do a whole natural therapy program next week for men and women. If you want to know how to get testosterone back to the right level so you get your muscle mass, your energy, your libido, and rebalance your hormones naturally, I'm going to do that. That's a longer segment. That's going to take about 15 minutes. And for women, the same. I'm tired of seeing ads that you would think are the only answer. They're not. We have natural ways. This was an interesting. I'm holding here my hand, and I want to thank the person who sent it. A South Carolina Christian school fourth grade science quiz where the kid got 100% A+, right? It's right there. Here's how it was graded. It says dinosaurs, Genesis and the gospel, quote, true or false? The earth is billions of years old. The answer, correct answer, according to the teacher, false. True or false? Dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. False. On what day did God create dinosaurs? The sixth day. True or false? Dinosaurs lived with people. True. What did people and animals eat in the beginning? Plants. Which one fits the Ben-Monith description in Job 40, circle the picture, and they circled a dinosaur. True or false? If an animal has sharp teeth, it must mean it's a meat eater. False. Now, of course, when you give an A+ and 100% correct, and every one of those questions are wrong, what does that tell you about what's going to happen when that kid continues that indoctrination? This is not education. This is indoctrination. And then you ask later, how is it possible that you have a museum? I've been to it. Where you show that humans and dinosaurs live together. the dinosaurs were born just a little under 6,000 years ago with humans. And they accept this. And that is part of the debate over creationism, well, and evolution. It just shows you who would have thought, but that's the actual test result. I'm Gary Knoll, back in a moment to continue with our environmental segment and our segment on public health. Some very important issues coming up, including we finally got the truth about British Petroleum, and we should demand all of the settlements be put on hold until we can bring this information forward, showing what they really knew, what they had done before, and the blowout in the Gulf was not the first blowout, and how it blew out was not the first time. They had a previous one that you've not heard about. You will today in a moment. Please stay with us.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. Eek! And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat.
I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. We talk about the issues that impact all of us. I do not deal in ideologies. I deal in what is human. Therefore, we all have a seat at the table. I don't care what a person's beliefs are. It's their right to them. I believe that we have more in common than what we are capable of understanding. We just seem to fight a lot, argue a lot, disagree a lot. Why don't we try to look at what we can share that can allow us to progress forward? And that's what we try to do. In a moment, double dip. Doctors paid to advise to promote drugs that you're not told they're paid by the drug companies. Wow. Okay. Monsanto is losing the fight on GMOs, and I want to thank all the people for joining together in a grassroots movement to stop them and get our products labeled. Merck's former doctor predicts that Gardasil will become the greatest medical scandal of all time. ALEC and big polluters try to attack limits on climate change, pollution, one state at a time. So we have a lot still to go, and we're going to go in a second to Greg Palast's Truth Dig, Lap Dancers, the CIA, big payoffs, and British Petroleum's Deepwater Horizon, how it's all a complete scandal, and no one in the media got it. Well, today, you'll have it, and then we can work on it from there. Just want to mention that we're full for tonight. This week and next Friday, I'm going to be joining a group of our listeners to go to a vegan meal and then to a art movie. And we did it this week and saw a really terrific movie. I'll talk more about that. The Last Two Lovers Alive, phenomenal movie down at Lincoln Movie Theater on 65th. If you have a chance to see it, see it. It's you may think it's violent. There's no violence in it, but it's really a head movie. Sensual, exotic, thought-provoking. I liked it. Don't know what we're going to see now. Anyhow, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a lecture. I don't often have a chance to lectures that are open to the public because almost all my lectures are full, and so the whoever I'm in is doing the lecture asked me, don't mention it because we don't have any room, and that's why I don't. But this one we're going to do over the internet. Therefore, we have room, at least for 50,000 people to watch it. If there's more than 50,000 people tune in, you won't be able to. But for those who come on at 3 o'clock, it's tomorrow. The theme is regaining your spiritual authenticity, reconnecting with the sacredness of life. This came to me about 2 weeks ago. I, in the middle of the night, I got up. And it's as important to my understanding of issues of life as the life energy was 25 years before that. So I think it's going to help a lot of people understand how to solve a lot of the issues of life. It has nothing to do with religion, but it has to do with better understanding of solutions. Now I'm going to deal with all kinds of problems. It'll be a two-hour lecture. All right? So that'll be tomorrow. And all you have to do is go to progressiveradionetwork.com. It's free to watch. Okay? And listen. We'll be video streaming it all over the world. That's tomorrow at 3. From Greg Palast. There was CIA involvement through a company called Mega Oil. They were shipping in arms under the cover of oil tools. British Petroleum executive was explaining me how the CIA, M16, and British Petroleum engineered a coup d'etat, overthrowing an elected president of a nation who was not favorable to British Petroleum. The corporation's former vice president, Leslie Abrahams, holding an AK-47 in front of British Petroleum headquarters in Baku, Azerbaijan, and like most of the other British Petroleum executives I spoke with, he proudly added that while he was working for British Petroleum, he was also an operative for M16, British Intelligence. The conversation was far from the weirdest I had had in my four-continent investigation of the real story of the Deepwater British Petroleum Horizon disaster. The British Petroleum oil rig blew up on April 20, 2010, 4 years ago this Sunday. Earlier this month, the Obama administration officially okayed British Petroleum's right to resume drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. And 2 weeks ago, just to assure the company that all was forgiven, the U.S. Department of Interior gave British Petroleum a new contract to drill in the Gulf of Mexico, right next to where the Deepwater Horizon went down. At the same time, the forgive-and-forget U.S. Justice Department has put the trial of David Rainey, the only British Petroleum big shot charged with a felony crime in the disaster, on indefinite hold. The Deepwater Horizon blowout incinerated 11 men on the rig and poisoned 600 miles of Gulf coastline. What political fairy dust does British Petroleum keep in its pocket to receive virtually no arrest, virtual immunity from the consequences? I understand what really happened in the Gulf of Mexico and how British Petroleum became a corporate creature beyond the reach of the law. British television network Channel 4 sent me on a four-continent investigation through a labyrinth funhouse of bribery, lap dancing, beatings, WikiLeaks, a coup d'etat, arrests, and oil state terror. I found the case of this tragedy of the Deepwater Horizon several thousand miles, in fact 7,000 miles, away from the Gulf of Mexico in the ancient city Baku, the Central Asian caravan stop on the Silk Road. The literal source of Soviet power until 1991, Baku had been a major exporting city for 3,000 years. As the Soviet Union shattered into pieces that year, British Petroleum set its sights on the city. It is now the capital of the new nation of Azerbaijan, which sits atop the biggest untapped oil field in the world, right beneath the Caspian Sea. British Petroleum Chairman Lord Browning flew into Baku as soon as the young state elected its first president. Former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher joined him via the Iron Lady, a plane the corporation outfitted especially for her. At a state dinner, Brownie handed Vice President of British Petroleum, Abrahams, a briefcase and showed him the contents, a check for $30 million. Brownie then gave the check to the president of Azerbaijan. Still, the new president remained not favorable to British Petroleum's demand for total control of the Caspian Sea oil. So, M16, the CIA, and the corporation went into action. The spy agencies armed and empowered the former Soviet KGB chief named Haidar Alviev, who in 1993 overthrew Azerbaijan's elected government. Once he became dictator, he named himself president for life and within months signed a no-bid deal to give the reserves of all that oil, largest in the world, to British Petroleum. British Petroleum M16, their man, was Abrahams, and he was instructed to, quote, he told me, smooth the way for the deal by taking the officials of the government to London in Lord Brownie's jet for weekends of lap dancing and other entertainment. And by Abraham's own estimation, he paid over $3 million in additional cash bribes to make certain that British Petroleum would have no trouble. I should note that Abrahams broke no law. Bribery by a British subject was legal then. British Petroleum did not deny the payoffs when I questioned them directly, and M16 officers proudly confirmed the coup d'etat purpose of locking in the offshore deal for British Petroleum. What does this have to do with the blowout of the Deepwater Horizon? This, and this is so important for this audience. It is now well established that the disaster occurred when the cement used to cap the well failed, allowing explosive methane gas to fill the rig and transform it into a sinking fireball. But this was not British Petroleum's first cement failure and explosion. Just 17 months earlier, British Petroleum's Caspian Sea Transocean rig suffered exactly the same fate. The cause of the two blowouts was identical. In the Caspian, as in the Gulf, British Petroleum laced its cement with nitrogen gas. The nitrogen bubbles sped up the drying of the mixture, saving British Petroleum $500,000 a day on rig rental charges. But in offshore high-pressure zones, nitrogen-spiked cement can fail, and it did twice. Question: why in the world would British Petroleum allow this insanely dangerous quick-drying cement just after a failure in the Caspian? Answer: a cover-up. Threats, beatings, arrests, bribery, perjury, and complicity of the U.S. State Department. I only learned of the prior blowout because of a coded message from the Caspian Sea received from one very nervous eyewitness. To get the evidence, I flew to Baku and headed across the roadless desert to find more witnesses. But we had been ratted out. My crew was placed under arrest by secret police. While they demanded our film, I was allowed to keep my pen, which was actually a hidden camera. How do you keep a monstrous blowout from going public? As one of the arresting cops told us with odd pride, quote, British Petroleum drives this economy. It drives it with cash. Robert Ebel, former chief of oil analyst for the CIA, estimates at least $140 million of payments by British Petroleum for Azeri oil has gone unaccounted for. Where did it go? Notably, the ruling family lives like pashas, despite the president's official salary of $100 a month. Oil worker advocate Miraveri Gramamali said she was beaten by police for raising questions. In case I doubted it, she showed me photographs of a dozen cops slamming her with long clubs. What's worse, while I was tossed out of the country, my witnesses all disappeared. Just 5 months before the Deepwater Horizon spill, British Petroleum Vice President of Gulf Explorations David Rainey testified before the U.S. Congress that the company had drilled offshore, quote, for the last 50 years in a manner both safe and protective of the environment, end quote. British Petroleum's testimony was a lie. The Caspian rig blew out a year earlier. But the lie was good enough for Congress. Based on Rainey's assurances, legislators pressured the Department of Interior to drop objections to plans for drilling in the Gulf's deep waters. Withholding information from Congress is a felony crime, but Rainey has one heck of a defense. The U.S. State Department was in on the cover-up. Deep in the pile of confidential State Department cables released by one courageous U.S. soldier, Private Branly, or now Chelsea Manning, we have the notes from a secret meeting between the U.S. Ambassador to Azerbaijan, Dana Dirce, and the chief of British Petroleum's Caspian operation. The hugger mugger was demanded by British Petroleum's American partners, Chevron and Exxon. The U.S. oil companies had complained to the State Department they were no longer getting their piece of the Caspian loot, and British Petroleum wouldn't tell them why. You'll remember that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was a member of Chevron's board of executives. In the memo, which you could see in the film Vultures and Vote Rustlers, the U.S. ambassador provides the details of the blowout of the bad cement on British Petroleum rig. The State Department kept calm and quiet, not even warning U.S. safety regulators, and Exxon and Chevron's chiefs jointly, along with British Petroleum's Rainey, in the mendacious sales pitch to Congress testifying, despite their knowledge, that their offshore drilling methods were safe as a game of checkers. They were all lying. Justice is not only abused. David Rainey was indicted for felonious obstruction of Congress. However, the charge centers on a relatively minor falsehood. He allegedly misunderstood the amount of oil bursting into the Gulf. Neither Rainey nor British Petroleum will be tried for the deadlier lie to Congress, the prior blowout caused by the penny-pinching quick-dry cement, because U.S. government is itself complicit in the cover-up. And that's why we are seeing the red carpet rolled out for British Petroleum in the Gulf once more. When the U.S. government participates in the corruption of other democracies, when it authorizes bribery and ignores police state tactics to benefit from business deals, the sins of empire can come back to haunt the nation. In the CIA's world, this is called blowback. What is covered up in this is Baku has killed Americans in the Gulf, and it will likely continue to kill. And bribery does not simply stay over there. American officials are not as different from the Baku bandits as they may like you to believe. The agency is in charge of regulating British Petroleum drilling in the Gulf. The U.S. Minerals Mining Service was rife with watchdogs who, like their Azeri counterparts, took backhandlers and payouts from British Petroleum. And when I say British Petroleum was in bed with regulators, that is not a metaphor. A British Petroleum lobbyist was sleeping with the chief of the agency. But don't bother sending David Rainey a file in a cake. The British Petroleum man won't get 2 minutes of jail time. His trial has been suspended indefinitely. Immunity from law is not new to British Petroleum. As I reported 2 weeks ago, British Petroleum was the main culprit in the disaster caused by the Exxon Valdez grounding. The company walked away without paying a dime to the victims. In the case of Deepwater Horizon, a few tenacious attorneys have ensured the corporation pays some compensation in the Gulf, but that money comes nowhere close to the damage it caused and will do nothing to harm the company's bottom line. Today, British Petroleum has declared Gulf waters clean, as if Mother Nature were just a toilet and you can flush it all down. But I've been to the Gulf shores, dig down 10 inches in the shoals off Gulfport, and you'll hit Deepwater Horizon crude oil. Biologist Rick Steiner tells me British Petroleum's poisonous sludge remain under the surface for another 40 years, hidden just like British Petroleum crimes. End quote, Greg Palast. I might add to that that I spent a lot of time traveling all the Gulf states, Louisiana, for example, and Mississippi and Texas and Florida, and there are thousands upon thousands of people who are suffering the consequences of environmental toxins that no one is acknowledging. The states don't acknowledge it, the federal government doesn't acknowledge, and British Petroleum doesn't acknowledge it. So it's not just the livelihoods of those who are affected. It's all the people who are out there helping clean up the debris, even those wearing suits to protect them. They're sick today. And you ought to see them. You ought to see the ulcerating sores, their collapsed immune systems. And this is a major scandal that needs to be exposed. Quote, Koch brothers' wealth surges past $100 billion as they try to buy the Senate with expensive lies. From Cliff Weathers, Alternet. The wealth of the Koch brothers has surged past $100 billion, a boost of $1.3 billion to their collective fortune based upon new industrial production forecast. And that's enough to buy 1,000 Boeing 757s or every NFL and NBA team. Together, Charles and David Koch are majority shareholders in Koch Industries. And then it goes on to talk about how much money they give to Republicans and Democrats. You thought it was all Republicans? No, it's not. And they've been successful. They paid for 18,000 broadcasts over commercial television to sell their messages. Well, that has a powerful impact. Next up, good news for we the people, bad news for the gas hydrofrackers. In the third assessment in as many days, pollution created by the booming industry, a group of researchers said Wednesday that the controversial oil and gas drilling practice known as fracking likely produces public health risks and, quote, elevated levels of toxic compounds in the environment in nearly all stages of the process. The latest research conducted by physicians, scientists, and engineers for Healthy Energy compiled, quote, the first systematic literature review of peer-reviewed studies on the effects of gas hydrofracking on public health and found the majority of research points to dangerous risks to public health with many opportunities for toxic exposure. Quote, it is clear that the closer you are to the fracking site, the more elevated your risk, said the lead author, Seth Shonkoff of the University of California, Berkeley. Quote, we can conclude that this process has not been shown to be safe. And this was an exhaustive review of the literature. So, the whole idea of shale gas development, where they're using all these chemicals, these are damaging chemicals to the environment and to our health. And we now have the proof of this. So, we will have all this posted under blog.garynull.com, so you can use this as you will. And finally, from Ronnie Cummins from Nation of Change. After 20 years of battling Monsanto and corporate agribusiness, food and farm activists in Vermont, backed by a growing movement across the country, are on the verge of a monumental victory. Mandatory labels on genetically engineered foods and a ban on the routine industry practice of labeling GMO-tainted food as natural. On April 16, 2014, the Vermont Senate passed H-112, a vote of 28-2. Following up on the passage of a similar bill in the Vermont House last year, the legislation, which requires all GMO food sold in Vermont to be labeled by July 1, 2016, will now pass through a House Senate Conference Committee before landing on Governor Peter Shumlin's desk for final approval. Strictly speaking, Vermont's House 112 applies only to Vermont, but it will have a same impact on the marketplace as a federal law, because national food and beverage companies and supermarkets will not likely risk the ire of their customers by admitting that many other foods and brands they are selling in Vermont are genetically engineered, while simultaneously trying to conceal this fact in the other 49 states as a seed executive for Monsanto admitted 20 years ago, quote, if you put a label on genetically engineered food, you might as well put a skull and bones on it, end quote. Well, we've now done that. So I want to thank all of the listeners from all the states, and keep watching, if you haven't already, Seeds of Death, because it lays out all the arguments why we should take control of our food, why we should label our food, what's dangerous about GMOs, the lies of these companies, and the dirty tricks they use to try to keep people from knowing the truth. And by the way, this week, we received the highest award at the International Independent Houston Film Festival, one of the most respected film festivals in the world, and Seeds of Death won special jury, which is their highest honor. So word is getting out. Tens of millions of people have searched for and have hopefully downloaded and taken information. Now let's go on to the next states and get the same thing done that the good people of Vermont have been able to do. I will deal with my other issues I didn't have a chance to today on our next program. I want to thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day. Now let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. You know, I got an interesting email from one of your listeners in Mexico. And by the way, they just had a 7.2 magnitude earthquake in Acapulco. Shook that country a little bit. And this person says, it seems that many cultures resort to violence in order to assert control and power. And they're asking, could you please speak to the culture of violence in Mexico amongst its young people?
It's not just in Mexico. What is happening, it started in Mexico. And it started as a form of narco-entertainment. It started in some of the cities like Acapulco, for example, that you just mentioned, but Juarez in particular, where you have factional drug gangs. There are about seven major drug gangs throughout Mexico. And when the gangsters would go to nightclubs at night, the people in the bands were fearful that they might be targeted. So they started to write lyrics that praised the gangsters. And it was took on a theme. So if a gang went to a particular nightclub, they expected to hear music and lyrics and people dancing and supporting their criminality as if they were heroes. And so what happened then is some of the leaders, like Guzman and some of the others who headed these, would then go into the poor neighborhoods and buy people food for a year and give money for school children. They would spread a lot of this narco money around local communities. And also they would let people know that in these communities, you are going to be safe. So they were benevolent to the people that they needed to give them the kind of public support. And anyone else, it was just rampant bloodshed. 75,000 people have died in the war on drugs in the last 5 years in Mexico. Now, that's just the people who are directly killed. It doesn't account for all their family members. And there's a higher family rate in Mexico than the United States. So you're dealing with close to a million people affected easily in Mexico. But then some people got the idea, why not start capitalizing on this? So they started recording music that was all narco, and it glorified the worst lyrics. If you think some of the worst of rap is bad, this dwarfs rap, dwarfs it. Like, you know, carrying a bazooka, and I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to cut off your head, and I'm going to drink your blood, and I'm going to, you know, assassinate your family. All this in the lyrics and the music. And then people started to buy these, and then it grew. And then people began to show up at small venues, and then larger venues. Now the venues are so huge that they're filling up large clubs and having thousands of people at a time. And these people, mainly just illiterate people coming from the boroughs, coming from the ghettos, coming from the farmland, they're performing or they're going to where this music is played. And in some cases, that's the only music they'll play. Now they're coming out because they're popular. They're going into the Latino not necessarily Latino, but the Mexican segment, because it's unique to Mexico. They're now going into Los Angeles in other cities in the United States. And again, this is under the radar, because when was the last time someone paid attention in the mainstream media what kind of entertainment goes in and into a, let's say, a Spanish nightclub? They don't. But this is the music that's being played. These are the lyrics they're listening to. These are the CDs they're buying. It's not a small phenomena. It's a huge phenomena. And it's only going to get bigger. So it's called narco culture and narco music, based upon the narcotics. And it's huge. And it's going to get monster big in the United States. So you know now about it before the rest of the American public know about it. It's coming. And remember, when you're out there and you're watching videos showing violence and people being killed, and there's nothing editing it. There's no sense of stopping before something is written, spoken, lyrics, music, or video violence to support it. It's very graphic. If you see it, you're repulsed by it. And yet this is the new culture. This is what people want to hear. And who wants to hear this? People who feel that they have nothing to lose. We're at their bottom end of society, so they're identifying with those people who've taken on, they consider, the government, and therefore the people who are taking on the government and the wealthy and the elite, they see them as heroes instead of who they are. Okay? Let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice. Oh, we're trying to get Utrice up. She'll be up in just a moment. And again, if you want to join me for my lecture tomorrow, the only one I'll be doing in the next 6 months, you can do this over the internet at 3:00. Go to progressiveradionetwork.com. At 3, it'll be from 3 to 5. You can watch and listen to it, unless too many people get on. My hope isn't too many people won't get on, because I don't want it to crash. Last time we had so many tens of thousands, it crashed. But we've actually expanded double our capacity. The theme is regaining your spiritual authenticity, reconnecting with the sacredness of life. Have a nice day, everyone.
Against the white